time, but a hit record that they made was called Only You. And it was still popular when I was in high school and through college and all that. And it's about a story between a man and the woman that he loved. And the song says things like, she was the only one for him, only one that could, you know, do the things that he was yearning for and all that. And it has a pretty romantic theme, you know, the way the words are in that song. But for him, she was the only one. Nobody else could compare to that person that he loved. And if you remember the Peanuts comic strip that Charles Schulz drew for such a long time, there was a character named Linus, and he was the one that had the security blanket and always was sucking his thumb, you know. And for that character in that comic strip, the only thing that could satisfy him was that security blanket. You know, when he had some of his moods, toys wouldn't get it done, other friends wouldn't do it, you know, nothing would do it, not a pillow. He had to have that security blanket. It's the only thing that could meet his needs. Hallelujah. When we had our daughters, we had three. The middle one never liked to have a pacifier, but the first one and the last one did. And that was the only thing those babies would be satisfied with in certain times of the day in certain situations. And so we learned that, and we would always take a pacifier if we went out of the house. And we even took up a backup pacifier, because if for some reason the pacifier was lost, we had to have another one. And sometimes even the backup pacifier didn't work because, you know, it was brand new and it didn't taste right or feel right or something. So when there were certain things that happened, if we didn't have a pacifier, it was bad news, because that's the only single thing that would meet the need in that point at that time. Hallelujah. And if you've had children or you can remember your childhood, sometimes we get, as children, get cut or scraped or hurt, something like that, and dads rush to the scene and do all they can. But really, in that kind of time, the child needs a mother's lap and the mother's arms and the mother's voice and the mother's kiss, and nothing else will quite do what mother will do in those kinds of situations. Now, this is just kind of the way things are sometimes. And there are some Bible situations that are similar to these. And one of those was when Elisha met this Shunammite woman who eventually made the upper room for him to stay in when he was traveling. He noticed that, he wanted to do something to repay them for their goodness to him and the way they served the Lord. So he asked the couple if there's anything, you know, he could do for them, and they didn't have any children. They couldn't have any children. So as the story turns out, he prayed that they have a child, and there was a baby boy who was born. The child grew to, I don't know, several years old. I don't think the Bible says exactly how long. Thank you. And at one point, he was working in the field with his father and had a terrible headache, and so the father took him back to the house, and he sat in his mother's lap, not his dad's lap, but his mother's lap. But he died there, probably of some kind of stroke or something like that, maybe from the heat. And so that devastated the family, because this was a child that God had given to them because they had asked for that. And this lady did not accept the fact that this gift of God was gone. And she decided she would go see Elisha and see what could be done in this situation. You probably remember this story pretty well. And so as this story unfolds, she wanted to talk to Elisha about that problem. And he had a helper named Gehazi. And in the course of the story, Elisha sent him out to meet the lady and take care of the problem. But and he tried to do that. But in this lady's heart, she had her heart set on seeing Elisha personally about this problem. And for some reason, she knew Elisha was the only one that could help her in the need in her life at that time. And so Gehazi went. He prayed for the child, did what he could, but the child was not raised from the dead. But when the lady finally got to Elisha and he went, the need was met, and he raised the child by God's power from the dead, and he was restored alive again to his parents. And somehow that lady knew in her heart somehow that Elisha was the only one that could help her in that situation. There were a lot of prophets. There was a prophet's helper. There was all these things. But the only one that could really make a difference was Elisha himself. And when she got to that man, it happened exactly the way she expected it to. He was able to meet the need in her life. And there's that story about the woman at the well of Samaria. She had had five husbands. This lady probably had some problems, or she might just have been a strong-willed child and continued as a strong-willed adult. I'm not sure all the details in that, but she still had problems in her life. None of these marriages had worked out. She was living with a man who was not her husband, but her life still was empty. None of these people really could help her. And so this lady at the well, when she met the Lord Jesus Christ, this was a different story, because he was the only one that could make a difference in her life. And when he came in contact with her, after all these other things had happened and all these other people had been involved, the one and only God Almighty who we worship was the only one that could help that lady. And after that encounter, she was a changed lady. Hallelujah. God in his power met the need in that lady's life. And there was really nobody else that could have done that except Jesus Christ. Praise God. There was a woman with the issue of blood. She tried all these doctors. All of her friends had these home remedies. When we went to Ecuador as missionaries, people were very friendly to us. The church people always wanted to help. And sometimes when they knew that one of us was sick or one of our children had some kind of an earache or something, they said, well, we know how to fix that. And they would give us some kind of crazy home remedy, you know, with made out of stuff that I'd rather not touch with a 10-foot pole. And they say, if you put this in your daughter's ear, everything will be okay. And it was strange. And I thought, well, it'd be worse to take the cure than just be sick with the disease. You know, it's so strange what they were saying to do. But they believed it with all their heart. But those things, you know, didn't work for this lady. I'm sure that her friends told her about all these things they had heard about. But this lady continued and got worse and worse and worse as time went on. But somehow she heard about Jesus Christ, and some faith sparked in her heart, and in her mind she got this idea that if I can just get to Jesus, he can make a difference. He may be the only one that can. I'm going to give him a chance. The doctors couldn't help, all her friends, but when she made her way to the feet of Jesus Christ and touched the hem of his garment, all of a sudden the only one that could have made any difference did make a difference, and she was healed, hallelujah, because she got to the person that could help her. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, there are times in your life and my life, and times in your family, as well as my family, and times in this church, that nobody really is going to be able to help except God Almighty. This is an only God situation sometimes. Now, thank goodness this may not be the kind of problems we have all the time, and because our friends can help a lot. God has put a fivefold ministry into the church for the perfecting of the saints and the working of the ministry, and they are servants, really, if we look at what the concept of a minister is. They are here to help, and they can do wonderful things for us, and thank God that there is a ministry at work in our churches today and in our lives. But there are some things that the ministry can't do. There are going to come times in our lives and our families and the history, or not the history, but the moving through time of the church, a local church, whatever, that only God can do some things that need to be done. And when those kinds of things happen, it doesn't matter who we go to or what we try to do ourselves, there's not going to be a solution, because it's only God that can solve that problem. Only God. Hallelujah. As good as other people may be, and as good as we perhaps ourselves can pray and do things and try to improve and all those kind of change, all that, some things are just reserved for God Almighty. Like these examples I've tried to give. There were a lot of things available, but only one thing would do. And if we didn't have that one thing, if we didn't have that pacifier, we were in bad shape. Well, in some things in our life, if there were not God Almighty available to us and ready to hear our cry and answer, we would be in the same kind of bad shape. Because some things only God can do. Praise God. Now, every human being is born with a sinful nature. And we in the church have this concept of children, before they know right or wrong, they're in an innocent type of stage. And they can't judge. They do things, good and bad, without realizing what's involved morally between choices of right and wrong. But a child becomes of age when they do understand. And from that age on, they are accountable to God because they make choices which determine their actions and what they do in their life. And that's different from hitting a sister, you know, with a toy when you're 1 year old and you don't really know it hurts and can't understand those things. But when you choose to do it on purpose because you know she'll cry, that's a different thing. Hallelujah. I remember my brother, I've got two sisters, all my siblings are young, about... 9 and 7 when my brother was born. And when he was about 3 years old, he was kind of a tank of a little boy and real stocky, and he liked to pick things up in the yard, you know, and throw them around and beat the bushes. And so every once in a while, the two girls would be out there with a picnic laid out in the yard for their dolls, you know, and everything. And here comes my brother with a stick, you know. He was just a little bitty boy, and they were, you know, bigger children. But, boy, they would just scream, and he would hit at one and hit the dolls, and they would run off to house crying for mother, you know. just couldn't get the job done. So... that's just the way it is sometimes. But we are accountable to God for our actions. And because of the sinful nature we have, all of us become sinners in God's sight. And when we are sinners in God's sight, there's nothing we can do really to change that. We cannot forgive ourselves of our own sins and make a difference with God. We can't wash our own sins away. We can't fill ourselves with God's Spirit. These are things that only God can do. Nobody else can do these things. Hallelujah. And if God doesn't do them, how will they get done in our life? They'll never get done. And so every sinner who repents has got to have faith that only God can help me in this situation. And when we put God in that position in our mind and our heart, it gives Him an opportunity to work in our lives that He'll never have if we don't understand He is really the only one. I mean, this lady at the well could have gone through who knows how many more husbands, or the woman that was sick could have kept on trying even more doctors, but nothing would have ever changed because they were not the ones that could really help. And in our lives, sometimes God is the only one that can do some things that we have to have done. And sometimes it's a crisis situation. Sometimes things are out of control and we can't change anything ourselves, just like we can't wash our sins away. But if we can understand God Almighty is on the throne and He considers us His children, we are the sheep of His pastures. He's bought us with a price. He loves us. And when we recognize He is where our help is, and He is in whom we can have faith and trust, when we put Him in that place in our life, it opens Him up, hallelujah, to do things that will not be done in any other way. Because some things are only for God, hallelujah. Nobody else can do those things that are reserved for God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to allow Him access into our life. And many times we may feel, because of our personality or maybe our pride, that I should be able to take care of this. You know, I should be able to fix this. But actually, sometimes there's just only one that can do that. And that turns out to be God Almighty. And it's wonderful when we can find, as a parallel or a comparison, somebody in this life who is an expert in some field. I don't know if you've had experiences or opportunities to be with anybody who was just kind of a natural-born craftsman. But there are people like that. They have an inborn talent. Maybe their parents might not have been like this, but there are some people that just can make a something out of wood that is just perfect. I mean, it's better than a machine would make it, and it's just a natural talent. I have a cousin who's married to a man like that. He just, there's nothing he's ever attempted to fix that he couldn't fix. I mean, electronic, mechanical, it doesn't matter. He just has this innate, inborn ability. And when he does some kind of remodeling in a house, it's better than anything you'd ever see in a magazine. He's just that kind of, he's a master craftsman, in my opinion. And there are people like this in the world that just, for whatever reason, they are just way above everybody else. And when everybody else is figuring out, you know, how to try to fix something, they're already halfway through the problem because it just, you know, they just jump ahead and they know how to do these things. So we were on deputation one time in our in an old motorhome, and we came across the mountains in California, and one of the exhaust manifolds broke. It cracked because of the heat. And so when we got to the place we were going, it was a brother, his name is Morgan Underwood in Yuba City, and he was a district director for California for foreign missions at that time. So we were coming to his church for a service and to stay for a couple of days. So when we got there, he met us in the parking lot. We had contacted him ahead, and he heard, you know, the noise in the motor, and he was enough of a mechanic to know what that meant. And I knew there was something wrong, but I hadn't figured out what it was yet. It didn't stop. I thought if I stopped, I might not get to start it again. So we just kept driving until we got there. And so we opened the hood up, and he thought it was a manifold problem. So we got under there with flashlights and stuff, and sure enough, there's a big crack, and it was, you know, not just a hairline crack. It was open a little bit. So he was really a friend because he got his overalls on, and I got my blue jeans on. We got under there and took ourselves and took the manifold off. And there were several junkyards around that area, and we took the manifold to them looking for a replacement off of a truck or something. And we found a lot of manifolds that would fit the engine, but they weren't made right because the motorhome was a different kind of an installation, and some things on the motor were different. We couldn't find a manifold just like the one that we needed to replace. And if we'd put a smaller one on, it wouldn't have worked. So, and they didn't make these manifolds anymore. The motorhome was out of date. So we were stuck, you know, in this situation. And I said, well, since, you know, if we could have found the manifold, we could have fixed the problem ourselves, put it back on. But we couldn't find one. So I asked him, is there anybody around here that can weld this back together? It was cast iron, and that's a challenge to weld on cast iron, different than steel. So he said, well, I don't know. And he thought a little bit, and he said, well, there's just one guy that might be able to fix this. And so that was encouraging. So he called, and we made a date to go down and see this guy. And he was an older farmer, a rice farmer, and not a professional mechanic, but he had done things all his life, fixed all his farm machines, you know, kept everything up himself. And he was one of these natural-born type people that I was talking about. He was just a natural-born mechanic. And he looked at it and thought about it and turned it over, and you could see in that wheels were turning in his mind, figuring out about this problem. And he said, well, I think I can fix it, and if you want me to try, I'll be glad to do that. And this was just a country hick. You know, we would have classed him as that kind of person. But in this area of life, he was a pretty unusual guy. And so he did all the things that he had to do, preheated it so it wouldn't crack anymore, and drilled it out and ground it, and he welded it, but just a little bit at a time and real precise and slow. And finally the job was done, and he said, and you'll have to take this and grind it off because it may have warped a little bit when I did this and won't fit flat. And if you'll do that and put it back on, if it lasts the first 100 miles because of the heat and doesn't crack, it'll probably be a good repair and last a long time. So that was encouraging, but, you know, what about the first 100 miles, you know? So we did what he said, put it back on, and we left California with that welded manifold. And after 100 miles, it was still working. And we drove some tens of thousands of miles on deputation in that same motorhome, and it was still working. And I saw Brother Underwood some years later, and he said, you know, you remember that motorhome we fixed of yours, that blue and white one? I said, oh, yes, I do remember that. And he said, well, it came through California about 6 months ago. Another missionary had it. And he said, the manifold was still working, you know. So this was a case of someone who was a master without equal in that part of California for those kinds of things. And when he put his hands on that repair job, he knew how to do it, and he did it right, and it lasted, and it worked. And that's the way God is. He's not just a master craftsman with woodwork or with mechanical things, but he is a master craftsman at the human race. He created us. Hallelujah. He knows what we feel like. He lived here as a human being. He knows our hurts. He knows the emotions we have to handle. He knows what injustices are. He knows what it is to be betrayed by his friends. He knows what pain is. He knows what hunger is. There's nothing that he doesn't know. I mean, he's a master craftsman for our lives, spiritually and physically as well. And when we can understand that only God is the one that can solve some of the needs that we have, and just quit messing around and go to him and ask him for help. God, help me. Hallelujah. That opens the door in our life, and he can come in and put his hands to the clay. Hallelujah. And fix whatever it is that we have in our life. Only God can do this. Nobody else can. Other people can encourage. Other people can give us tips and point us in the right direction. But in the bottom line is that only God can do some of these things. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we have a God like that. You know, if he's the only one, that makes him pretty important in our life. And if we couldn't come into his presence and ask him these things, if we didn't have the permission to knock on the door and ask and seek our help from the only one, we would be in terrible shape as a human race. But you know, God doesn't look at the human race like just 6 billion people on the earth, one big group. He looks at us one at a time. He knows the thoughts and the intents of every human heart. That's what the Bible says. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. When we were in high school, I took French a couple of years, and you know, high school students are dumb and do crazy things, and what we thought was funny back then is ridiculous now, but that's just the way it is when you're a teenager. And so when we study in French, if anybody speaks here, anybody here speaks French, you can correct me. But I think when they talk about the hair, they use plural. And so we got into this mentality that instead of getting a haircut, we were going to get a hair's cut, you know, because they're going to cut all the hairs on our head. And there's a lot up there. But whatever is correct in French, hair or hairs, when you cut them, God knows how many there are on our head. He knows how many stars there are in the sky. And so God is qualified to do whatever we need him to do, because he knows everything, and he knows everything about us. Not only does he understand and know the problem, he knows a solution. Hallelujah. And when we can put our confidence in him and understand that he can help me, and he is willing to, and he's the only one that can, sometimes things change in our life, things go into action, and who knows what God can do when we come into his presence with that kind of an attitude. Hallelujah. We do need to praise him, and we do need to worship him and be thankful in our relationship with God. But there are times that it's in order to ask him for help. We are supposed to ask. The Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. That's asking God for a need in our life. Forgive us our trespasses if we forgive those who trespass against us. We're asking God for something. And so these things that are reserved for God, they're just really not going to get done unless God's involved. Hallelujah. There are things in, if we think of ourselves as individuals, if we think of ourselves as a family unit, if we think of ourselves as a local church, there are some things that if God doesn't do them, they'll never be done. Because he's the only one that can do some things for us in our life. And it's like a line drawn in the sand. Everything on this side of the line, God maybe doesn't need to be directly involved in. Ministry can help. Our friends can help. We can have desires. We can, you know, we can work on these things. But on the other side of the line, all those things are over there that only God can do. And so if God's not involved in those things, they're never ever going to be done. At least not the right way, and not in his will. But when we can see and understand what those things are that are only God things, and forget everything else and just go straight to God on our knees, He can put things into motion and solve our problems. Hallelujah. And looking at that from another direction, if these things are things that only God can do, we as human beings can't step over there in God's territory and work on those things that are reserved for God. That doesn't work. We have to recognize Him as the only one that can do those things and stay off of His territory. Hallelujah. And sometimes we forget those things that are only for God. And when we are messing around in God's territory and have crossed over the line and tried to do God's business for Him, it just does not work out well. Because those things are only, they are reserved for God, and they are things that only God can do. Hallelujah. So, if you have never had a personal encounter or experience with Jesus Christ, if there's sin in your life and you're weighted down, only God can make a difference in your life. But what a difference He can make when we understand I'm in over my head. I've got to have help. And when we recognize that only God is the one can make a difference in our life and wash away our sin, things will be loosed into motion that will not happen any other way. Praise God. Some of us carry a weight of guilt and sin around upon our life. I mean, even those of us who have the privilege and the honor to have been born again. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. We're not like we used to be. But sometimes we have a weight still on our shoulders, spiritually in our life, from before we repented and were born again. For some reason, that those things just hang on and they weight us down. It's not that we're living in sin. It's just the memory and the weight and the heaviness of those things oppress us, and it makes a difference in the way we feel. Our spiritual personality is affected. Our day-to-day life is affected. And that's something that God can take away. We can't just wake up one day and, you know, make it be gone. But if we understand this is something that God Himself can do, then He can make a difference. He can take that weight off. Hallelujah. And free us from the torment and the things that the enemy would want to put back on our life, perhaps, or make us think that we still have to carry that weight around. Only God can do that, but oh, He can do it. Hallelujah. He can wash away our sins by His blood. That's why He shed it on the cross. And this has always been a paradox to me. You know, when something is stained with blood, That's a messy stain to fool with if you're trying to get it out of a white shirt. It's hard to get it totally out. And so when blood gets on something, usually it's worse for the blood being there. It's stained. It's hard to scrub out of your skin and the pores and everything if you had a cut or something. But that's not the way it is with God. He applies the blood. Not only does it not stain us, it makes us white as snow and takes out all the other stain that's there. Now, how can that be? That goes against our logic and our understanding of natural things. But God doesn't, He's not constricted by those things. He made this world. If He wants to jump beyond the laws of nature, He can do it. If He wants to go back in time or forward in time, He can do it. Hallelujah. I don't understand how He divinely heals people. Somebody told me, well, their opinion was, God just moves us in the spirit world in time. And He moves us back when we weren't sick anymore, and that's the way we are after we're healed. Or He moves us forward 2 or 3 years, and what would have been a natural healing and 2 or 3 years later, God makes it happen in an instant because He's not limited by time. That's interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, but I do know God is not limited. Hallelujah. He can do anything, and especially the things that only God can do. He's an expert in. He's a master expert without equal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you've got a problem, If there's a chronic spiritual situation in your life or in your family, maybe God's the only one that can really do something about that. But we need to recognize that, and we need to reach out to Him, giving Him that position in our life that we understand we are helpless, but He is not, and He can help us in these things. Praise God. If we're not making progress spiritually and can't understand why, maybe we could look across the line there and ask God about that. Can you help me? I've not been able to solve this. I've not been able to change this. But only God, hallelujah, He's able to. Praise God. So when we can have this concept about God, that there are some things He reserves for Himself. Some things are too precious for Him to delegate out. And I think that's why God came Himself to this world. And He made Himself a body, and He Himself was the Lamb of God on the cross. He didn't want to entrust that to an angel with a body or bulls and goats and sacrifices. He did that Himself because He felt like He was the only one that could do that job. Hallelujah. And when we put our trust in Him, the only one that can do these things in our life, He loves to do those kinds of things because He's the expert. He's better than the guy that welded the manifold. Hallelujah. He's better than any master craftsman. He loves us so much. So when it's a family problem, if it's a problem between couples, a couple, if it's a problem personally and spiritually, if it's a church problem, if somehow we can imagine we have this problem, but we can't solve it, and we can recognize that God is the only one. If we can take that problem and, like, put it on the altar and offer it to God and then walk away from that and quit trying to fix it ourselves and quit trying to pretend it's not there, if we could just give it to God and recognize Him as the only one that can fix that problem, who knows what's going to happen in our life. Hallelujah. He is God, and He's the only one. Hallelujah. He's better than a pacifier. Hallelujah. He's better than all these examples, but He is our loving Heavenly Father. Praise God. I'd like to pray as Brother Wilkins comes back, but let's if you're a couple, join hands if you would, and pray for yourself, pray for your spouse, pray for this church. But focus on something in your mind that only God's going to be able to fix. If it's personal or in a friend's life or in this church, let God give you something in your mind. And if you could just put that on an altar while we pray. This doesn't have to be an hour and a half prayer. It can happen right now. If you've never repented of your sins, you can say, God, just forgive me. I don't really understand a whole lot, but if you can just help me and do your will in my life, that will open God up to lead you and guide you into more. But if you can focus on something and just imagine you put it in front of God on an altar and say, Lord, this is my problem, but I'm giving it to You because You're the only one that can help, and trust God and see what He can do. Can we pray that prayer? Oh God, we thank You for Your holy presence. And we thank You, You have no equal.